When I first picked up music, I mean, I think kind of like everybody, I wanted to just be, you know, a player, go out and perform. And by the time I hit college, the idea of teaching became something. In fact, one of my professors, Dr. Paul Schuen, said, I think you'd make a good teacher. You should think about it. I had been a TA for the student assistant for one of the percussion methods courses, and he thought I was doing a good job in there. He said, you should consider teaching. So I added that to my performance major and started teaching. And then I thought, yeah, maybe someday there'll be the Sean Jefferson School of Music. And that was kind of like a half-hearted joke, but also a little bit serious. Like it would be, I would love to have an impact on people like that. But I was more focused on performing. And the idea of starting the school really became a reality as I continued teaching privately for about 6 or 7 years throughout college and then shortly after school. And just working with my students and noticing that the thing that they were missing most was some of the things that I had growing up was this opportunity to perform a lot and the opportunity to play in a band with other kids my age in a kind of a controlled environment. And that wasn't something that was really offered here in Rochester and still isn't other than us. And so that really, that idea, like, okay, well, maybe I'll just partner with some musician friends of mine and, you know, who are also private teachers and form a, let our students together form a band. And that logistically just wasn't happening. So then kind of the logical conclusion is, well, then they all have to be in the same place. They all have to be in the same school. And that led to the idea that we need to start a music school.
And I want to talk more about the logistics of having a school and what are some of the exciting things and challenges, but also want to go back, though, to you learning music. What first got you to pick up drums? Was that your first instrument?
Yes and no. I mean, I grew up in a very musical family. My uncle was a pastor, so, you know, I played music in the worship team at the church growing up, and my cousins were musicians, and I would, you know, play around the piano at home when I had a chance, and picked up the drums, and it was just kind of always being around music my whole life, to the point where for most of my young life, it wasn't even the idea of pursuing music. It was just, well, music is just a part of what we do. It's just a part of our everyday life. And it wasn't until I was in high school that I really kind of got serious about music. It was mostly, again, just being around music all the time and really finding that music was the only thing that I could always go back to, the one thing that was always there for me. So,
and did you end up taking formal lessons playing in high school?
I did. I waited until I was in high school before I started taking formal lessons, and mostly because I just wasn't disciplined as a musician. To be totally honest with you, just was not disciplined. Really didn't have the structure to be to do private lessons. Didn't have the personal discipline. And then as I got into high school and got serious about it, then it became the thing where I said, I definitely want to take lessons. I want to be better. And kind of from that point, it was, you know, lessons into college and whatnot.
And what are the things you heard that inspired you also? What styles of music? Any artists particularly?
Yeah, I can't even say a particular artist because, I mean, growing up, my family had music across the spectrum. We had jazz, classical, gospel, rock and roll. We had pop music, R&B, soul, you name it. It was on our record player growing up. So it was more, again, just everything hitting my ears. I loved going to cultural festivals growing up and just being inspired by other music that I wasn't necessarily playing on a regular basis, hearing a lot of Latino music growing up, hearing a lot of Italian music growing up, like lots of cultural music. So it wasn't a particular type. It was just everything, just music in general was inspiring me. And in terms of a particular musician, again, the list is way too long, and I feel like I'd be leaving someone out if I started listing musicians.
Sure, and as I read about the work you've done, that jazz does seem to be a particular focus and interest for you.
Which is interesting, because jazz is not something I particularly set out to do. I grew up playing gospel, grew up playing rock and pop, and just kind of over the years got more into jazz. I mean, jazz is very much the kind of the pinnacle of musicianship in terms of being having to be spontaneous, having to use your musicianship in a very aggressive but thoughtful manner regularly. So, and as for drummers especially, like technically, jazz is the pinnacle. So just you reach a point and you're playing so much music and you're finding you want to do more, you kind of jazz is like the natural progression. So I kind of ended up there and was very fortunate to play with a lot of great jazz musicians along the way. But I still play lots of rock, still play pop stuff. I do session work, and it's typically not jazz when I do session work.
Though having this variety must be great for working with students then, because whatever interests them, you have a bit of background in it probably.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think a mistake I made going into college was, and I think a lot of musicians do this too, is we get caught up in kind of the upper echelon of music, and we start neglecting or pushing aside pop, you know, and some of the, I don't want to say lesser forms, I'll say lesser complex forms. And that really has to do with just we're being intellectually stimulated. I mean, why would you, if you have an opportunity to have gourmet food, why would you intentionally go get like Hostess snack cakes? Like, it's not something you look to do, and not to diminish pop music in that manner, but it's not made for dense consumption. And so, coming out of college, I realized, oh man, for like the last 4 years, I have not really been digesting other music. And getting back into it, just really realizing, yeah, there's some serious disparity in terms of quality, but there's also a lot of great pop music out there. And it's mostly in the independent music scene, not necessarily in the mainstream, but definitely in the independent music scene. And having that broad perspective, my iTunes collection and my whole music collection is as diverse. I mean, everything from Aaron Copland to, you know, some of the hardest bands out there. But having that broad spectrum allows me to really meet every student where they are. So if we get a kid that comes in and wants to sing, pop music, I'm there. If they want a student who wants to do jazz, we're there to work with them. We have students who want to do metal, we're there to work with them. We have students who want to do theater stuff, we're there for them. We have students who want to sing country, we're there for them, because we understand all of that. And my background, kind of experiencing both on a personal level but also as a professional level, is really, really plays a big role in that.
And you did teach for a few years in public schools, right?
I did. I taught for 2 years right out of college, and I loved the kids but hated the school environment. Not because I don't think music shouldn't be in schools, but just the focus was everything but what I thought music should be for. There's so many things tied to why music had to be in there. It's like, well, music helps kids with math. Music helps kids with reading. And my second year, one of my requirements of my assignment was to actually help teach a reading class. And I said, this is stupid. I'm a music teacher. I don't teach reading. I did, and I thought I did a pretty decent job at it. But for me, it was, you know, we should be teaching kids music just because it's music. That's the only reason. And if I have to do anything other than give them music for their enjoyment, for their benefit on an artistic level, then I'm giving it to them in the wrong manner. So for me, I said, I need to not be in this environment. I need to be somewhere where I can give kids music in a totally uninhibited environment. Just take it because it's good. Take it because what you want. Take it because what you need. And that kind of led me to not teach in the public schools.
And can you talk a little bit about your school now, the environment there, the way it's structured, and the sort of work that you and your teachers do?
Yeah, so for starters, I mean, it's similar to a lot of private music schools. You know, kids come in on a weekly basis for private lessons. And we have teachers who specialize in specific things. One of the things I'm big on is I don't hire teachers who teach guitar and bass and piano and drums. It's, you have to be an expert at what you do. You have to be doing that professionally, number one. So that's kind of the base criteria there. But then also, we have a program called I'm in the Band. And that's really centered around the idea that no kid ever picks up the drums or the guitar because they just want to noodle in their bedroom on their own. They pick it up because they're inspired by something they've seen on TV or something they've heard on an album, and they want to play in a band. And it's one thing to play along with recordings, and that's good, but it's different when you are in a room with other musicians your age and you're all making original music. That's totally different. That's not That's not something you just get on a daily basis. So that's kind of the main basis of our program is helping kids learn to write original music in a band setting and then go out and perform it. And I mean, like anything else, you know, sports teams, they have practice all week long so they can play games at the end of the week or throughout the week. And music, a lot of times, it's we prep, and then we have that one concert, you know, 4 months from now. Versus, all right, let's do a concert, you know, more frequently, and let's write original music for this. As opposed to, and nothing against, you know, playing other people's music. It's just when you write your own thing, you have something that you can lean on to. Not to mention just the ability to apply the skills that you learn, the musical concepts. It's one thing to try to identify them in other music. It's another thing when you're forced to use them, use those skills. I think they stick better and they have a longer lasting effect.
And do you find students enthusiastic about it, a little scared about, by the way, you can't just read this thing, you have to write your own music?
Yeah, we get across the spectrum. You get kids who come in there and they're all about, I just want to write music, I want to perform, do I get a drum solo, all those things. And we also get kids who are terrified because they're like, oh my goodness, what if someone doesn't like my song? What if my song is terrible? What if I make a mistake on stage? And we say, look, you know, even the best of them make mistakes on stage, so don't let that be your inhibiting factor. Let it be about just the music. And so, you know, we ease them into it. We never force anyone on stage. We've had kids who really just, look, I really like writing music, but I just cannot do the stage thing. It's not something I'm interested in. We don't force them because I think every musician is not a performer. Every musician doesn't need to be on stage in front of everyone. Every musician doesn't need to have the accolades. Some people just want to make music for their own personal enjoyment. And we try to cater that as well, try to make sure that they have an outlet. And sometimes we have kids who will write songs for other kids in the program, and those other kids will perform their songs. And that happens in the professional industry too. We have songwriters, we have composers who never grace the stage other than to take a bow. And we have kids who do that. They study music with us, and then they write music for other people.
And have there been surprises along the way as you've been doing this? Have there been things you thought would be, you know, the biggest part of it and then it didn't, or things that you didn't expect that became, you know?
Yeah, I think the I don't say it's a big surprise, but I guess the degree to this, but the resistance from parents actually to let their kids pursue the arts. Actually, that's probably the biggest surprise. I knew it was there. I mean, it wasn't something in my family. My parents were always, whatever you want to do, as long as you're happy and as long as you're successful, we don't care. But for a lot of kids, it's not the case. And I'm oftentimes surprised when a kid gets completely inspired and says, I really want to pursue this. I want to figure out how to make this work for me. And, you know, I've had parents, you know, call me during the day when kids are at school. Don't tell them we had this conversation, but I really don't want them to go to school for music. And I tell the parents, like, that's really a conversation you need to have with your kid because, you know, I'm not going to shatter their dreams. But I've always been shocked at that. It's like, you know, since when do we tell kids, you know, your dreams are not enough to merit a try? And so I've been shocked by that. But the thing I say that supersedes that is the degree to which kids, when they really grab hold of it and say, okay, I understand I'm not going to this to be famous. I'm going to this solely because I want to make good music. And in a world where kids are constantly bombarded with stuff, technology, with media coming at them constantly, school, oh my goodness, the amount of work they do in school, but to still find the time to have artistic inspiration, that to me has probably been the biggest shocker, that because you know, I feel like sometimes we have to dig through the rubble to find the kids out there who really want to pursue art for the art sake of art, but to find those kids rising up and saying, yes, I'm going to do this because it's what drives me, that has been even a bigger surprise than everything else.
And that's really wonderful to hear that they're getting that from you, because yes, if you're dedicated and you care and you have your eyes open, there are a lot of careers in music.
Yes.
And many of our parents don't know about them.
Correct. I mean, the music industry is so broad. I mean, and I typically don't tell kids, you know, you should be going to try to be, you know, get on the biggest record label you can, because it's really not, I don't think the music industry is suited for that. I don't think most people's careers are set on that trajectory. But the independent music industry, it's just like being a shop owner. You have a business, you have, you know, something that you're trying to promote to people, and you hope that you find people that appreciate what you do and will then, you know, on some level pay you for it so that you can make a living. And I think most people go into it not saying, I want to be a multimillionaire, I want to, you know, win 17 Grammys. They just say, if I have enough to pay the rent, if I have enough to eat and survive and be happy, and I'm making art, then I'm happy. And we try to feel that with them, but also help them understand that performance isn't the only way. There's across the media spectrum, you can be an engineer, you can be a promoter, you can be a booking agent, you can be a manager, you could be on the promotional side of things, you could be on the media side of things, on the radio. There's so many different things out there that the music industry offers to people that is not solely performance, but understanding music makes all those other jobs that much easier.
And then I just wanted to step back a bit for one other aspect of your teaching that I was fascinated about, reading about that. And you work with students on body mechanics, you described it as, with drumming. And since I know musicians, the other thing you have to learn is that dancers learn so much better and earlier than we do, and athletes, as we talk about sporting events, is that this is something that uses your body, and you have to take care of that and figure out how to manage it.
Yeah, that really started out from me experiencing my own injury. I broke my shoulder as a teenager, and apparently the PT wasn't enough to accommodate the lifestyle of a drummer. And so the injury flared up again as I entered the professional field as a performer, and to the point where it was debilitating. I had to, you know, I was on a show one night and felt my arm getting like numb, and I said, this is not good. Immediately went home and called my doctor after hours. He wasn't too happy about that because it wasn't that urgent, but to me it was. And so we started talking about what needed to happen, and I worked on, I got some physical therapy. I found one of the few personal trainers in Rochester who had a degree in physiology and kinesthetics. So that helped to understand, okay, I need this person to understand movement and particularly sports medicine. And then found someone who worked with body movement and particularly with musicians and began understanding how my body works together as a unit and applying that to injury prevention and things of that nature. So whenever I work with my students, drumming wise especially, really honing in on, you know, preventing injury, because, you know, the best way to deal with injury is to not have an injury. And it really starts in basic technique. Not to mention, I mean, if you're going to play a show, you know, the average, you know, you're going to play an hour straight, and that people don't understand how intense that is, especially for drummers. And we can burn as much as 700 calories, over 1,000 calories an hour drumming. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, that's level of sports. And to not be physically conditioned for that, is you're really putting yourself at risk. And so really addressing that with my students about good technique from the very beginning and how that actually helps you just express better on your instrument. If you don't have to worry about how your body is working and whether your body is working most efficiently for you, it makes a difference. I mean, I think every musician can attest to that. If you know how to physically move with your instrument, you get the most out of it with the least effort, and you make the instrument work for you versus you working for the instrument.
And is there anything else you want to add about teaching or about Rochester Contemporary School of Music or thoughts, especially as we are in Music in Our Schools Month, about the work you've done as a teacher or teachers that have inspired you?
You know, there's so many things, but I think the most important thing is we need to make sure that we encourage music and the arts in general solely for the sake of music and arts, because it's the other part of human life that needs to be stimulated. And if all we give our kids are, you know, how many AP classes can we cram into our high school schedule? How many activities can we do throughout the day? And never giving them the side of artistic stimulation that allows them to express and process the world around them, we're really doing them a disservice. And whether that happens at their school, if they don't have the time to do it in school band, I know sometimes their schedules get full. Outside of school, let them engage music and take them to concerts. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I've had kids at the age of 12, 13, 14, 15, and have never been to a concert, never been to the RPO. They've never even been to some concerts at festivals in Rochester. Well, that blows my mind, because there's a million festivals on a weekly basis in Rochester. But the fact that our kids aren't even going out and engaging the arts, despite how rich our community is with the arts, I would say that's the one thing I would definitely encourage everyone. Make sure your kids are pursuing the arts, at least for a enjoyment level, and then also going out and engaging the arts in their community. It's the one thing in life that allows us to process the world around us in a very unbiased, unjudgmental environment, is engaging the arts.
Sean, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.